From Maine Public Radio and MainePublic.org, I'm Nicole Ogrisco with the news on this day in Maine, Tuesday, July 8th, 2025. A new study reveals that more than 50 coastal beaches in Maine tested positive for potentially unsafe levels of fecal bacteria on at least one day last year. John Rumpler with Environment Maine Research and Policy Center says 15 of those beaches had persistent problems, exceeding the safety threshold on at least 25% of the days that were tested.
And so what does that mean? It means that there's either animal or human waste that's flowing into our coastal waterways. Where does that come from? Well, sewage treatment plants are one part of that.
Rumpler says overflow from sewage systems and runoff from heavy rain are sources of fecal bacteria. He says local, state, and federal governments need to bolster investment in water infrastructure to prevent future contamination. Governor Janet Mills says she won't sign two bills dealing with so-called ghost guns and online gambling. Kevin Miller reports.
The governor's office on Tuesday released a list of more than 60 bills that passed the legislature last month, but that Mills won't take any action on until state lawmakers reconvene later this year or in January. One bill would ban ghost guns, which are typically handmade or 3D-printed guns that are often untraceable because they don't have serial numbers. Another measure that Mills is holding would allow the Wabanaki Nations to offer online gambling. The Passamaquoddy, Penobscot, Mi'kmaq, and Maliseet nations already have exclusive access to offer online sports betting in Maine, but this latest bill would allow the tribes to contract with vendors to offer casino-style games, like poker or blackjack, through online apps or websites. Mills could still veto any of the held bills or allow them to become law without her signature, but those options won't be available to her until lawmakers meet for at least 3 days. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Kevin Miller.
A Democratic activist from Gardner has filed paperwork to challenge Congressman Jared Golden in next year's primary. Lewis Siegel is a former secretary of the Kennebec County Democratic Committee who's been involved with recent anti-Trump rallies at the statehouse. Siegel accuses Golden of not doing enough to push back against Trump, and he disagrees with his unwavering support for Israel during the war in Gaza. He also criticized Golden for being one of just four Democrats to vote for a controversial election integrity bill.
There are too many important policies where Jared has voted wrongly. We need a Democrat who votes like a Democrat and supports policies like a Democrat.
Golden is a moderate who's been elected four times to represent Maine's more conservative second congressional district. Former Governor Paul LePage is seeking the Republican nomination for the seat, likely guaranteeing the race will once again be a top priority for both national parties. American Airlines has purchased the last of the toxic firefighting foam located at the Brunswick Executive Airport. This marks a significant step to clean up the former Naval Air Base after a spill last year contaminated nearby wells and waterways. The airline agreed to buy nearly 6,000 gallons of AFFF concentrate from the Midcoast Regional Redevelopment Authority for $250,000. The fire-suppressing foam contained hazardous PFAS chemicals. Executive Director Dan Stevenson says the authority must still remove the residual AFFF from fire suppression systems.
I've been on board about 4 months now, but it became clear to me that the community really wanted just the rest of these hangars to be AFFF concentrate free.
Under a new law signed by Governor Janet Mills, the regional authority must remove AFFF from the former Naval Air Base by the end of this year. Governor Janet Mills has also signed a bill to offer state-backed no-interest loans to federal and state employees if they're furloughed or required to work without pay during a federal or state shutdown. The bill was a high priority for labor advocates this session, who say this is a necessary cushion for civil workers. Alana Schaefer, the president of the Metal Trades Council, says government employees are not responsible for the political gridlock that causes shutdowns, but often pay the price of the dysfunction. The federal government last shut down for 35 days from December 2018 into January 2019. Maine's controversial solar power subsidy program is drawing to a close. A new law ends incentives for new projects and slashes payments for existing arrays. The measure is an effort to curb steep program costs for electric customers. But as Peter McGuire reports, it's left the renewable energy industry feeling betrayed and warning that future investment will fizzle out.
About 5 years ago, Maine lawmakers expanded the state's net energy billing program to lure solar developers into the state with financial incentives. And it worked. Heather Sanborn is Maine's public advocate.
The goal in 2019 was to build 750 megawatts of solar, and we have built 1,600 megawatts of solar under that program.
But for some, the success came at a high cost to electric customers. Subsidized rates for solar projects were pegged to overall electric prices. So Sanborn says they kept going up, along with fossil fuel spikes and expensive storm costs.
The solar farm should have a predictable compensation structure, but not one that's driven up by things that are not related at all to what they should be compensated for.
This year, lawmakers slammed on the brakes. The new law cuts payments to participating solar farms by about 20%. It blocks new projects from receiving subsidies. It also makes project rates independent from electric prices. Sanborn says that without changes, the program would have cost customers $234 million this year alone. Instead, they'll save about $3 a month.
That's going to give us some really important ratepayer savings and some certainty going forward that solar costs aren't going to continue to spiral out of control.
You're familiar with the term rug pull?
Greg Felton is CEO of Altus Power, a commercial solar developer from Connecticut, and he says he's shocked by the retroactive rate cuts in the new law.
That's something that doesn't happen. It's viewed as not only un-American, but in this case, illegal.
Altus built a dozen arrays in Maine through net energy billing. Felton says similar companies invested billions of dollars and financed developments expecting stable, long-term revenue. Instead, incentives were abruptly cut, and Felton says some developers and solar customers are left holding the bag.
The change here is not modest, it's dramatic. They are materially impacting the economics of these projects, such that they are not able to support the debt.
Some developers accept that compensation has to be limited to keep electric rates down. But Eliza Donahue with the Maine Renewable Energy Association says the sudden change also sends a troubling message to future investors.
They are no longer going to see Maine as a safe, reliable place to invest. Invest the real capital that we need in our clean energy transition.
And Donahue says Maine is abandoning its commercial solar program at the same time Republicans in Congress and President Trump are gutting tax incentives for renewable energy.
I think there's generally wide agreement on the egregiousness of what's happening at the federal level with regard to clean energy policy. For then Maine to be piling on top of that, it's a really troubling mix.
New projects have until the end of the year to qualify for the program. Maine energy officials are required to submit plans for a successor incentive by next September. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Peter McGuire.
And that's today's Maine News. For more stories, visit mainepublic.org. Coming up on Maine Calling at 11 o'clock tomorrow morning, the latest news on cars, trucks, and SUVs. I'm Nicole Ogrisco. Thanks for listening.